Well, hi, everybody. And we're continuing just a little bit. Perhaps this will not be a program that is a full hour long. I think not. But we'll finish this section that we have, Letters on Occult Meditation, video commentary, program 52. We're beginning on page 262. We have had a number of paragraphs presenting who and what a master of the wisdom is. And now we have just a few more of them before we get into a new subject. And that subject being what access to the master entails. Excuse me. So going back here to 262, a master of the wisdom is one who has chosen to stay upon our planet to help his fellow men. There are some dots here that tell us there is an ellipse. And DK might have said more about it. Lately, the masters register their path with Sanat Kumara, but he seeks to retain their cooperation. And he's even done this with the sixth-degree initiates who remain with our planet because the present crisis needs all of them. And they make their great decision every 49 years. The next time will be 2050. 2001 was the most recent. And they undertake some kind of project on behalf of humanity. And it's usually a fairly disturbing project, but one that advances the divine plan and the purposes of Sanat Kumara thereby. So usually when a person, an individual becomes a master, he looks ahead and studies the cosmic path that he will take at the sixth initiation. Lately, the masters, well, maybe not all, but so many of them are remaining with the planetary project because of the seriousness of conditions. All who attain the fifth initiation are masters of the wisdom, but all stay not and work as servers of the race. Some, they pass on to other work of greater and equal importance, but first they have to achieve the sixth degree. And what has been, this book was written in the 20s, and the later books tell us that Sanat Kumara is actually retaining the sixth degree initiates. Maybe there are some exceptions, but in general, retaining a large group of them, they register the path that they will be taking. Yes, they register with him their choice. But they stay, and we don't know how long this staying will be. You know, that's something that's being dealt with on the level of Chohanic achievement. And so it's, you know, way beyond us to know anything of that nature, unless maybe we are told. Okay. So This, you know, is written before the continuation of the war on the physical plane, written before the continuation of the developments concerning atomic energy, emerging in form of the atomic bomb. Many changes took place, which became emergencies. And the indications changed in the later books. But anyway, as it says here, under normal circumstances, they pass on to other work of greater or equal importance. Because, you know, I'm not sure when it took place, but there was a time when the masters themselves could leave the planet by choice. But lately, that whole process of departing upon one of the cosmic paths which lead out of our solar system eventually became the prerogative of those of the sixth degree and not of those of the fifth degree. So they pass on to work of greater or equal importance. And maybe it will return to that. We don't know. At present, we simply have an emergency situation. To the general public, the significance of the term lies in the thought that they choose to stay and limit themselves for the sake of men who are pressing forward on the wave of evolution. So this is how it's certain of them, maybe on the path of Earth service at the time, and those would be the masters with whom we are most familiar, chose to limit themselves for the sake of humanity. Through meditation. Now, he's always emphasizing this, isn't he? You know, it's one thing after another that meditation can achieve. Remarkable things. So first, he often tells us of the, remarkable possible achievements, and then he says it's done through meditation. Through meditation has the Great One reached his goal, and which is the thing not so often comprehended, through meditation or the manipulation of thought matter and by work on the mental bodies of the race is the work carried forward that aids the evolutionary process. Now, we are often told that the master works upon the plane of the soul, which is the mental plane. They are capable, of course, of, well, which is the higher mental plane, really. They are capable of working below, and they give advice below, but their primary focus is upon the plane of the soul. So, you know, what it takes is a broad familiarity with this 30 years of teaching to see when things actually have changed and not adhere only to something that appears at a certain point and then is later changed. However, we have to be careful when people appear who say, ah, the plan has changed. Matter of fact, it just changed yesterday. It just changed a little while ago. It changed when I became interested in seeing a change. There are certain stabilities regarding the divine plan which simply do not change. And we're taking a big risk and misleading people when we, because of our own preferences, and let's just say we don't recognize that it is because of our own preferences, we state that the plan has changed. Now, when there has been a change, DK will let us know. Some of the new schools were to appear relatively early in the process. The Christ himself, it looks like, according to certain references, maybe had the Second World War not precipitated as it did, and had atomic energy not become the atomic bomb as it did, because those secrets were not supposed to be released until the age of Capricorn, which is still, you know, some 2,500 years ahead. Perhaps then, if those things had not taken place, everything would have proceeded as indicated in the earlier books, and the Christ would certainly be visibly with us now, and the hierarchy would be far more externalized than it is now. But delay entered in due to, let's say, premature discoveries on the part of humanity, which the hierarchy was not free to hold back or to prevent. They would not do that. When humanity succeeds in a discovery, hierarchy must confirm. Okay, now we'll move a little further. A master of the wisdom is he who has taken the first initiation that links him up with the greater brotherhood on Sirius. Now, what this is saying, and we have become familiar with the idea, is that the fifth initiation, our fifth planetary initiation, our third solar initiation, is the first Sirian initiation, sometimes called, you know, the entered apprentice degree, if we use the Masonic terminology, which NTK has spoken in terms of that terminology. It's not as if we're, you know, revealing secrets of Masonry which one should not reveal. He has spoken of the entered apprentice and the fellow craft and the master mason and so forth, all connected with the Blue Lodge. As I have told you, he says, as afore I have told you, he is an initiate of the first degree in that greater lodge. He has attained an expansion of consciousness which has admitted him into touch with the solar system in many of its departments. Now, that is, let us say, as a master, he has done this. Now he has ahead of him a vast reach of expansions that will eventually take him beyond, and notice the word eventually take him beyond solar systemic consciousness into something far greater and wider. He has begun to learn the rudiments of that cosmic meditation beyond our solar system that will admit him into a consciousness past our conceivable surmise. And yet, the startling thing is that Sirius, for all its greatness in comparison with our own solar logos and his system, is simply a dwarf star. Maybe, although the figures are never stable, maybe some 33 or so times brighter than our sun, having therefore a solar luminosity reading of 33, when there are other stars that are hundreds of thousands of times brighter than our sun and still within our local system, such as stars in Orion. Some of them are credited with being that bright. Okay. So, I just want to kind of put this down here. The Sirian system finally is a type of cosmic Christ, and though it has a soul, I believe, on the fifth ray, the luminous fifth ray, the ray of Manus and of knowledge, it will have still higher rays connected with the devotion. Those who go to Sirius are called, brilliant dancing points of fanatical devotion? Something like that. But anyway, the idea of dancing and fanatical devotion is there. And of course, they're part of the dog star who follows Orion. And then the cosmic Christ idea, probably the ultimate monadic ray of the Sirian system or of that particular star. There are just so many mysteries, and what DK is basically telling us, a consciousness beyond, past our conceivable surmise. Basically, he's telling us we have no idea. And yet, it is the path which the bulk of humanity will take, maybe 80-85%, for training at first in Manus. A master of the wisdom is he who can consciously function as part of the heavenly man to whose body he may belong. He understands the laws governing groups and group souls. He governs a group soul consciously himself, a group on the path of return, maybe an ashram, and formed of the lives of many sons of men. And he knows his place in the body systemic. So he has a special... He has a special status within the particular planet upon which he finds himself. So many of us are parts of our planetary logos. We are, but can we consciously function as part of this particular heavenly man? We don't know enough to function consciously to really know what is the plan and what we're doing within it. We have some inklings of it, but not real knowledge. And we are, though the time will come, we are not yet administering or inspiring or holding up the central position as the monadic life would of any kind of ashramic group. We're not there yet. He realizes the center in the body of the heavenly man by means of which he and his group are kept in synthetic vibration and conducts his relationship with other groups in the same body under certain definite laws. Well, you know, Master DK, Master KH, they're all in the department of the Bodhisattva. They're in a great second-ray department, and there are other departments. If we look at seven types of monadic rays found upon the monadic plane, but the masters maybe with whom we are most familiar and who are spreading the teaching from which we so much benefit are those largely on the second ray. So anyway, he knows how to comport himself in relation to the other groupings within the energy system of the planetary logos in whom he has his place, or the heavenly man, as it's here called here. Sometimes planetary logos and heavenly man are used to mean the same thing. So he has to be in sympathetic vibration with the other groups within his particular ray line, and also in reasonable sympathetic vibration with the other groupings under different rays. And he knows all this and is responsible for conducting his ashram, if he forms such an ashram, in a way that will be lawful, definite laws, lawful with respect to the planetary logos in whom he lives and moves and has his being. The value of meditation as a preparation for this activity will be realized by all thoughtful students, for meditation is the one means whereby the sense of separateness is transcended and unity with one's kind occultly comprehended. Well, and we might, you know, add to that, as the Tibetan seems to do, the factor of service. But one after another, the benefits of meditation are listed until we come to an entirely new respect for what meditation really is. A master, right. I have a number of webinars coming up, and so it may be a while before I get back to this. A master of the wisdom is he who has entrusted to him, by virtue of work accomplished, he has proven himself, certain words of power. And by means of these words, he wields the law over other evolutions than the human, and through them he cooperates with the activity aspect of the logos, which is the related to the third ray, and perhaps we're dealing with the heavenly man planetary logos here, or perhaps simply with the activity aspect of the solar logos. But anyway, the words of power are conferred upon him because he has proven himself worthy of their impartation. Thus, he blends his consciousness with that of the third logos. And I think I'll keep that also in green. It's interesting. A master is an active person, an active individual. Through these words, he assists with the building work. And the cohesive manipulating endeavor of the second logos. That's interesting turn of phrase, cohesive manipulating endeavor of the second logos, who is the form builder, and comprehends the inner work of the law of gravitation for attraction and repulsion that governs all the functions of the second aspect logoic. So he, what DK is doing here is showing us the relation of the master to the first three aspects of divinity, it appears. Through these words, he cooperates with the work of the first logos and learns, as he takes the sixth and seventh initiation, which is not always done, at least maybe not on this planet, the meaning of the will as applied in the system. Maybe in those days the meaning of the will was taught outside the system when the master was making his way upon a path outside the system. But lately, as I said, even the sixth degree initiates are retained for a time to assist Sanat Kumara during the present evolutionary crisis, when the planet is taking subsidiary initiations, soon major initiations, and humanity is taking for itself a major monastic initiation. There are other and earlier types of initiations which are not part of the usual monastic five. So eventually the sixth and seventh initiations will be taken, but and probably now the opportunity to take them within our solar system does exist. But maybe at the time of this writing, some of these higher initiations were not taken in the solar system per se. These words of power, these words are imparted orally and through clairvoyant faculty, but must be found by the initiate himself by the use of Atma. And as he attains Atmic consciousness, well, you know, maybe it's connected with the throat center in some way, because Atma is the third plane related to the third ray and Saturn, and thus the throat center. When Atmic consciousness is developing by means of the intuition, so, you know, this is a, what can we say, a moving from buddhi to Atma, the initiate can contact the stores of knowledge inherent in the monad and thus learn the words of power. Now, you know, when we're dealing with the word, it has application to, as a word of power, to the first aspect, as a word in general to the second, and as that which is related to the throat center, to the third aspect. So here is some information of considerable interest regarding words of power. They must be searched out first. And intuition leads to the apprehension of these words. And note that the monad is not a tabula rasa or a blank slate. The monad has great interior knowledge. This ability to contact the stores of knowledge, I suppose, comes only after the application of the rod of initiation as wielded by the Lord of the world. And I assume at the fifth degree. After that, we have different emanations of the planetary logos who stand as the one initiator, other than the Lord of the world, some great existence unnamed at the sixth degree, and the planetary logos himself at the seventh degree, we are told, probably an initiation human and solar. Therefore, by the higher stages of occult meditation, and, you know, we note that because we're just beginners in occult meditation. By the higher stages of occult meditation, does a master of the wisdom increase still further his knowledge? Not static is his consciousness, but daily embracing more, and daily does he apply himself to further expansion. We make such a mistake by thinking that an impressive teacher of a particular religion has all knowledge, when they themselves are amused by the overestimation accorded them by their students. There is constant acquisition. Think of what the knowledge of a planetary logos, who many Mahamanvantaras ago was as a master is now. There is a statement about that concerning the status of a planetary logos when he was an initiate of the fifth degree. The page 243 stands out in my mind, but then what good does it do if you forget the book? It's either Rays and Initiations or a treatise on cosmic fire, I think. The master of the wisdom, a master of the wisdom is one who has earned the right through similarity of vibration to work with the heads of the hierarchy of this planet and in conjunction with analogous heads on two other planets connected with our chain? Now, that's an interesting thought. In theosophy, sometimes it looks like the word chain has meant the entire planetary scheme. Is that what he means? Or does he mean that there are representatives on other chains of our planetary logos who are connected with other schemes, and that a master of the wisdom can work with them? But I keep on thinking I think very much of Venus and Mercury, or perhaps Venus and Mars, but Mars is non-sacred. So he's not specifying here. He is not specifying which those two may be. And whether they are full planetary logoi or some representatives of those planetary logoi within our particular scheme. So the heads of the hierarchy of this planet seems to me to be Chohans, it seems. And in conjunction with analogous heads on two other planets, how can planets be connected with our chain? Well, they have, you know, representative lords in our chain. In Shambhala, the different planets are represented by the seven spirits before the throne. But does he mean planets or does he mean the representatives? That's what we have to determine. When he has taken other initiations, he can contact and work in conjunction with all the seven planetary logoi and not just the three in control of allied chains. See, that's this is kind of a, you know, a theosophical segue here. Theosophy or theosophical writings did not develop the distinction between chains and schemes to any full extent. But this is worth noting. The whole system can be embraced by him, and his consciousness has expanded to include the entire objective solar system. So it sounds like we're not just talking about representatives on our particular planetary, or in our particular planetary scheme. Maybe not just representatives, or maybe perhaps, oops, we don't want that. Perhaps not just representatives, but the logoi themselves. Or, on the other hand, reaching the logoi through their representatives. It would be, you know, to reach the Chohans is one thing, but to reach the seven spirits before the throne on our planetary scheme, those who are representing certain nearby planets at first and then later, the planets themselves. That's a possibility. No doubt there's a graded system of approach. So we are not certain of the graded system of approach. But the master is always expanding his knowledge. And his contacts. Okay. Well, there's more to be said, obviously, and there are some uncertainties here. And the three, he can contact the work in conjunction with all the seven planetary loci. Now, I want to say through their reps in the Earth EAR Earth scheme, and not just the three in control of allied chains. And here I would think these three would be Venus, Mercury, and Mars. I suppose the whole system can be embraced by him. Now, that's the question of whether through his representatives, the representatives of the different parts of the system, or more directly. That is not clear to me, but it is a question in the air. And eventually, I suppose as he takes other and higher initiations, he can contact the work of all the seven, and let's call these sacred planetary logoi, and not just the three connected. Mars is very connected with us, as is Mercury, as is Venus, for sure. And he says, I could enumerate still other definitions and further elucidate the matter for you, but that imparted today suffices. The point reached by a master is high, but only relatively so, and you must not forget that when attained by him, it seems low indeed, for he measures it up with the vista expanding before him. So it's a relative point of view. It seems so high to us, but he who can see so much more finds it to be low. Low in terms of possible comprehension and embracing of a still larger scope of vision. Low. Each expansion of consciousness, each step upon the ladder, but opens before the initiate another sphere to be embraced and another step ahead to be taken. Each initiation achieved, but revealed still higher ones to be mastered, and never comes the point where the aspirant, be he the average man, an initiate, a master, a Chohan, or a Buddha, once we reach the eighth degree, maybe we're called Buddhas in this sense. Once we reach the eighth degree, can remain in a condition static and is incapable of further progress. This certainly gives the lie to the static estimation of the teachers in certain religions. Even the Logos himself aspires. Note that word. Our Logos, our planetary Logos, our solar Logos, and even the one to whom he aspires, namely the solar Logos, reaches up to a greater. So this is powerful in the promotion of the sense of ongoingness. and makes the whole process seem like a dynamic process instead of something limited by the limitations of the concrete mind. Just a little more, then I must run. What happens in the system transpires likewise on cosmic levels, and what is mastered here must be repeated on a vaster scale in the cosmos itself, you know, onto the arms of galaxies and smaller galaxies and larger galaxies and families of galaxies, you know, in which galaxies are simply chakras. In this thought lies the inspiration and development, and not despair and weariness. The reward that comes with each step forward, the delight that lies in increased comprehension, rewards the struggling aspirant in adequate fashion. Ellipse. And then tomorrow we will deal with the more practical side, that of the man who aims at this high calling. This is an astonishing vista. Just like, you know, Alice Bailey saw these vistas when she worked with the Tibetan, and things appeared before her eyes that were not even written down by him. But the promise is immense, and the incentive towards these higher states is exciting, joy-inducing. So indeed, it is a joy to do the Master's work and to move forward in this way, able to serve better and better all the time, but growing in such a way that that enhanced service is a natural thing. So there's a bit more to do here, and this is not quite an hour program. I will come back to it. Well, friends, I think that's just about it for today. I've had to take a little time off to do a couple of programs in the middle. Let's just say that we are given a tremendous incentive of height after height that can be reached, of point of tension after point of tension intensifying and revealing many new wonders to consciousness and equipping our energy systems as they could not be equipped at lower points of tension. A master has achieved all this and still is longing for the heights still unscaled, as Master DK tells us, especially regarding those who are functioning on the second ray. So we have, I think, a clearer idea of what it is that produces a master. What is a master? And we can, with DK's words, remove many of the glamours which surround this subject, because people's aspiration becomes mixed with their ambition in a personal sense. And that is something that we must simply cast aside. We've been through countless universes. We, the one identity, have been through countless universes. And our essential nature changes not. Pure being, absolute infinitude, absoluteness, finally, it changes not. And this is our particular drama, dance, play, what should we call it? Creative endeavor, a creative self-becoming that is working out in this particular universe with heights that at our present state of prakritic immersion, immersion into matter, immersion into the lesser scope of ourself, cannot be imagined. But we are retracing our steps, and even now, in our true identity, we look on from above and see and know what we really are compared with what we think we are. And the mastership is, in a way, just the beginning, the first degree in relation to the great logos of Sirius, great to us, but maybe quite tiny compared to other stupendous logoi in this huge self-become system we call a universe. So now we will be ready to go on to yet another section, a practical section, says DK. We're on page 265 right now, and I think we began on page 262, and it took us as far as, 265. And let me bring that so that some degree of order may be established. I probably have the fate of being born with a seventh or eighth personality or something in my next life. And I can see the need. So we finished number program 52, and today is the 28th, and we've gone from 262 to 265. Not a lot of pages, but material that's quite in depth and needs to be read and reread and assimilated. And we'll begin with 265 at the next occasion, which probably, well, hopefully, will be November, although we're very close to the turn, and we can certainly feel the Sagittarian energy, I believe. So our next undertaking, in response to a letter given out on the 16th of September, 100 years ago, 100 years ago, and a couple of months. What access to the master entails? I imagine a significant amount of glamour busting is going on here, and that is fortunate for us. So lots of love, many blessings from all of us on the communications team, and especially here from Tuya and myself. We try to keep our little TV station running and look forward to communicating with you in various ways and in increasing ways as we go. Okay, so I'll just stop the recording. This will be available to you on Makara fairly shortly. Bye-bye.